Just take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn in Romans chapter 8. We're going to be looking at the end of the chapter today, starting at verse 31 and going down to verse 39. Hear the Word of God. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The Apostle Paul has just explained to us that God is the one who works every single thing out that happens to us for our good as Christians. He has presented to us what has often been called the golden chain of salvation that stretches from eternity in the past to eternity in the future, and that this chain of salvation is unbreakable because God is the one who does all of the things that are mentioned in the links of that chain. It's a perfect salvation for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, now what Paul wants us to realize as we look at the end of this chapter is that our salvation is certain because it is God who is for us. God causes all things to work out for our good. God has brought about each one of those links in the chain. And now Paul says, what can we say about all of this? And the conclusion that he draws is that God is for us, and therefore nothing can separate us from His love in Christ Jesus. God is for us. No enemy can prevail against us. That's what Paul begins with. He draws the conclusion from everything he's just told us. Remember, all these links in this chain of salvation are acts or works of God Himself, and therefore certain and secure. This chain of salvation for God's people is unstoppable, it is unbreakable, and all of this amounts to the fact, as Paul says, God is for us. What can we say? What can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He asks. The God of all creation, think about this, the God of all creation has placed Himself on the side of His people. God is for us, Christian. It's often been said, and it's true, that one believer plus God is a majority over all of the opponents against God gathered together in the entire world. You and God alone are greater than all of your enemies. That's what he's reminding us of. Now, do we have enemies? Of course we do. He's not saying here that all our enemies are removed from us. No, that's not what he's saying. Our enemies still remain, as we see from Scripture, the world, the flesh, and the devil. They're still there. We still have enemies. But what he is telling us, and this is important for us to realize, is that those enemies, though they appear to us often to be very strong, they cannot prevail over us. Though all the enemies in the universe, all of God's enemies, all of our enemies are aligned against us, they will never prevail over us. That's not to say they can't harm us. Yes, they can. That's not to say they can't kill us. Yes, they can. But they can never do one thing. They can never win the final battle for our souls. That remains secure and certain in the hand of God. We can be harmed. We can be killed. But we cannot lose our salvation. God holds on to us. And so Paul asks a number of rhetorical questions. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him give us all things? He asks a number of questions that the answer to all of these questions is, of course God will do this. The reason our enemies cannot prevail over us is that God, Almighty God, the God of creation, is on our side in this battle. And we know that if God did not withhold his own son from us, he will certainly do everything necessary to save us. That's what Paul is getting at. He did what was necessary for our salvation. He sacrificed his own son that we might have eternal life. And so Paul is saying God gave up Jesus for us all. The Father willingly sacrificed his only son upon the cross for us. And Christ did this also willingly. Let's not forget, Christ willingly submitted himself to his Father in this in order to become our Redeemer. And so as we've seen over and over again, let's recall, Christ's sacrifice was voluntary. It was vicarious and it is victorious. Those three things. It was voluntary. Though he was falsely accused and killed by sinful men, yet Christ willingly went to the cross. He suffered and he died for us. He voluntarily put himself through all of those things. Did he have the power to stop it at any point? Of course he did. He is God. He could have stopped that. He tells us over and over again, he could have called upon 12 legions of angels in addition to his own power as God to have stopped his execution on the cross, but he voluntarily went to the cross for us. And his sacrifice was vicarious. That means it was in our place. That the Father punished our sins by placing them upon Christ and punishing him in our place. And the Father took Christ's righteousness and he places it upon us. And we receive it by faith in Christ. And the result of that is you and I are cleansed of sin and we are robed in the righteousness of Jesus. And Christ's sacrifice is victorious. All of the elect of God are covered by Christ's blood and robed in his righteousness. And God will therefore give us all things, he says. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Now, what are these all things? If you ask some TV preachers, they would go into great detail about Cadillacs, mink coats, and diamond rings. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's getting at here. He is not talking about worldly trinkets and baubles. He is not talking about a vault full of gold. He's not talking about things that perish. He's not talking about earthly wealth and power. He is talking about the spiritual blessings that he's about to enumerate for us. Such things as we read about in the rest of this chapter, our justification, freedom from condemnation by anyone, Christ's intercession, his prayers for us, spiritual protection in the midst of great trials, and finally, the final victory over everything that opposes us in this life. Those are the great blessings that are ours in Jesus. And so Paul says, no one can accuse us. Now, verse 33, who should bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Now, he's not saying, when Paul says this, he's not saying, you won't be accused. He's saying the accusations won't stick. That's what he's getting at. He's not saying you don't have to ever worry about being accused. Of course you're going to be accused. Christ was accused of things falsely. Christ warned us in advance if he was treated that way, we would be treated that way. So we know already that people will falsely accuse us, that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He spreads lies about us, and he tempts us to sin against God through those lies. But let's remember, Satan has been overcome by Christ. And sometimes even our own consciences accuse us of sin and wrongdoing. We saw that earlier in Romans. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse our consciences. And so what he's getting at here is these charges won't stick. Why? Because God has justified us. God has justified us. He has declared us not guilty. He has declared us truly holy in His Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are found just in the eyes of God. When we stand before the tribunal of God on the last day, no accusation framed against us will stick because all of those things have been paid for by Christ. That's what he's getting at. So, will you be accused in this world? Sure. Will it stick on the judgment day? No. That's what he's saying. No one can condemn us. Verse 34. Who is to condemn? And look at the answer that he gives. Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Though men, though Satan, though our own consciences may often accuse us, they cannot condemn us because of Christ. Look at these powerful things that Paul lists. Christ died for us. That's the first thing he says. Christ died for us. This whole letter is about Christ dying for us. And Christ didn't stay dead. Christ rose for us. Christ rose from the dead. And his resurrection shows that God accepted Christ's atonement, his sacrifice on our behalf. That death could not hold him, and therefore, because we are in him, death cannot hold us either. Christ is seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven right now. That's the position of authority. That's the position of power that has been given to Christ as our Redeemer, as the God-man. He is seated upon the throne of God. He is at the right hand of God. He is ruling. He is judging. And he will come as the judge of the living and the dead on the last day. And what is Christ doing there in heaven? He is praying for us. He's praying for us. He makes intercession for us. He prays for our conversion. He prays for our sanctification. He prays for our final glorification. He prays that the power of His shed blood will be available to us, that we will be cleansed by that. And His prayers are always heard, and His prayers are always answered by His Father. So Christ prays for us. And so, Paul, as he continues to look at these things, begins to say, this means, Christian, no one can ever separate us from God. That's an amazing thing. All this stuff is building up to his comment that nobody can separate us. Paul, in this last section of this chapter, lists 16 things that cannot prevail against us. 16 things. List seven of them right here in verses 35 and 36. The point is this. Because Christ prays for us, no enemies, no tragic events can ever separate us from God. No matter what we encounter, it can't separate us. Are we going to encounter some of the things listed here? Sure we are. We live in a fallen, sinful world. Of course we're going to encounter this. And so he mentions seven things in these verses. He starts out with tribulation. It's a word that means outward afflictions. It's all these things that come upon us from without. All of the difficulties that we will encounter, and it involves direct sufferings. We will encounter tribulations. We will encounter afflictions from without. And that will affect us within, because the next word is distress, and that's inner turmoil that these outer afflictions often cause. That when we are in trouble, when everything piles on top of us, that makes us hurt within, and we are in distress within. And then he says, not even persecution. That's a systematic program of oppression and harassment. That's what persecution means. And that's what many of our brothers and sisters are facing in the world today. Systematic persecution, systematic oppression, systematic harassment. Famine, widespread lack of food over a considerable period of time. Nakedness. Not having any clothes at all or not having sufficient clothes. And in the context here, it may mean being so poor that you can't afford to clothe yourself. Danger. Threatening circumstances all around, no matter what they might be. Paul talked about being in danger from enemies, in danger from wild animals, in danger in the city, in danger in the country. So it's all these things that can be around us that can be threatening to us. And then he says, sword. And that's death by violence at the hand of robbers or murderers, or it also can mean execution at the hands of an ungodly state that wanted to kill him. Paul died. He had experienced every one of these up to the sword, and he was going to die by the sword later on. The government was going to execute him. But he had experienced every single one of these things he lists already. So Paul quotes from Psalm 44, verse 22, to remind us this is nothing new, Christian. This is not something that just came upon us unexpectedly, that it's never happened in the history of the world, and now all of a sudden it just falls on us. No, this is the normal lot of Christians, believers in Christ throughout all of history. So he mentions Psalm 44. And Psalm 44 is a psalm of the sons of Korah, and it's a complaint. It's a complaint to God because the people of Israel have had all these evils like this come upon them, and they had been trying to be faithful to God. This is written by the sons of Korah at a time when Israel was being faithful to the Lord, and they're saying, why are you allowing this to happen? We haven't departed from you. That's what Psalm 44 is all about. And the point, and it's a cry, God, hear us, come to our aid. We're suffering, we're hurting. And the point is this, and the reason Paul mentions it is this. God's people are not immune to such sufferings in this world. It's not unusual for the godly to suffer. But here's what he's drawing from it. That cannot cause us to be forgotten by God or to be lost forever. That's the point he's making. We will encounter things like this. Paul, like I said, had encountered every one of these and was about to go to the sword himself. But none of those things can cause us to be lost forever, because we, Christian, we are loved by God. We are more than conquerors, Paul says. No, in all of these things, all these seven things he's mentioned and the nine things he's going to mention, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We will suffer. We cannot help but suffer in a world of sin, but nothing can overcome us. All these things that cause us to suffer cannot overcome us. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Paul loves to invent words. And he invents a word here. This is a word that doesn't exist. And so he just invents it. This is translated more than conquerors. It's one word in Greek. And it is hyper, and the other word is Nikon. If you've got a Nikon camera in Greek, Nikon means conqueror, means victor. Okay? So you're a hyper victor. You're a hyper conqueror. You're a hyper overcomer. You're a super conqueror. That's what this word means. You and I, Christians, we are super conquerors in Christ. What Paul's getting at is simply this. Brothers and sisters, we don't just overcome by the skin of our teeth. We don't just barely make it to heaven. I'm so glad that I grabbed a hold of the end of the wagon of salvation and it dragged me down the road for a mile. No, we are more than conquerors. We overcome and have complete victory over these things. Not because we're good, but because we're in Christ. Not because we're good. The only reason that we're super conquerors, it's because we have a super Savior. We have a great victor. Christ alone is our Savior. We are super conquerors in Christ. Nothing can overcome us in Christ. Instead, we overcome everything in Christ, is what he's getting at. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Verses 38 and 39. These are the other nine things that he mentions here. He continues to elaborate on just how secure our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he mentions nine more things. Death cannot separate us. For remember, Paul is the one who says to live is Christ and to die is gain. We get to go to be with Jesus. Life cannot separate us. He's talking about all the temptations of this life, all of the things that would turn us aside. That can't separate us from Christ. No angelic powers can separate us from Christ. He mentions three words here: angels and rulers and powers. They're all spiritual forces, either for good or for ill, in the heavenly places. They can't separate us from Christ. Nothing that's going on in your life right now, presently, and nothing that could ever possibly happen to you in the future can separate you from Christ's love. Height nor depth, I think he may be getting at heaven above and hell beneath. Nothing in heaven or hell can separate us from Christ. And just so you don't miss it, Paul, it says, in case I forgot anything, nor anything else in all of creation. That last little statement is just so some Christian somewhere is not going to say, well, Paul, you didn't think of this. You didn't live in a time when this type of thing was going on and this could separate us from Christ. Now, Paul is covering all the bases. In this last statement, he is saying nothing you could ever experience, nothing you could ever encounter, nothing you could ever dream up or think up, nothing else could ever separate us from God. Not from God's love. So, he wants us to know for certain that that unbreakable chain of salvation is unbreakable. That we are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. That your salvation, Christian, your salvation is absolutely certain. God has accomplished it for you in Christ. Nothing you could ever experience, nothing you could ever imagine can in any way cause that salvation to be interrupted or lost. That's what he's saying. Because, why? All these things he's listed. Our salvation cannot be interrupted. It cannot be lost. Why? Because God is for us. That's the first thing. God is for us. He's on the side of his people. Christ died for us. He rose for us. He is ruling for us. He is praying for us. All the events of this life that happen to you cannot take away your salvation. All the enemies of God's people combined cannot take away your salvation. Nothing that you can ever experience or even think about, even under the most extreme circumstances, can ever in any way take away your salvation. Instead, in all things whatsoever, you are a super conqueror in Jesus Christ. So take heart. Take heart. Whenever you're faced with difficulties in this life, those things are designed by God for your ultimate good, and no matter how tough they are to go through, they cannot cause you to become lost or to be taken out of God's loving hand in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, what a marvelous, marvelous series of promises you've given to us here. How certain and how secure is this salvation that you provide for us in Jesus. Lord, I can't even imagine how a more glorious depiction of the certainty of Christian salvation could ever be portrayed by anything. For Paul has mentioned everything, including anything else in all of creation that could ever possibly be raised against us. Nothing can prevail. How we thank you that in Christ we are more than conquerors. And so, Father, bless us to look at our lives in that way, to know that no matter what we undergo in this life, that you are for us, and therefore all of these things are given to us in Jesus. What a marvelous God you are. Thank you. Thank you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.